Hello, Paper and Glam family. Welcome to our August installment of Book Club. I'm so excited today to talk through I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings with You. This is our second quarterly classic of the year. I guess we aren't really doing quarterly classics exactly this year, but we did Leaves of Grass in April, and today we're doing I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. All right, so to get our party started and wait for the feed to catch up and everybody to get cozy, we're going to do our icebreaker, which is what book are you most excited to read this fall, and or what book did you read this summer and love? So if you have been watching my vlog series, then you may know that I've been forcing the Miracle Morning on everyone I know. I think I got Sarah to try it, and I love it. So definitely the Miracle Morning was a game changer this summer. I love it. For years I've been asked how I kind of fit a little more in every day, and I always wanted to be like, I get up really, really early, but I knew that would sound crazy, but this book kind of breaks it down in 100 pages or less, and I love that. And then the book I'm currently reading that I'm loving, like obsessed with, will be forcing on everyone who is a reader, is Leave Me Alone, I Am Reading by Maureen Corrigan. Let's see if my lighting can cooperate here. There we go. She wrote So We Read On. You guys might remember mentioning or discussing her when we read The Great Gatsby, because she wrote an incredible book on The Great Gatsby. So that was her second book, and this is actually her first book. So I'm excited to kind of dig into this. It's kind of like her reading journey and how it has taught her about life, and kind of her walking through all of her favorite books. And just, I already love reading more, and I'm like 10 pages in. So that's the book I am most excited to read next. So Erica, you're first tonight. What book do we all need to go out and read?
I was trying to think what my favorite book of the summer was, and I read a lot this summer because we did a lot of traveling back and forth to my parents' house and like staying there for extended periods. And I couldn't come up with a favorite, but I did just finish Jen Hatmaker's newest book of Mess and Moxie, and that was really good. I laughed like through half of it, and then the other half of it I was like, oh my gosh, this is so good. Like stuff that I need to be learning about. And so I will just throw that one out there. And for what I'm excited about, I couldn't think of one specifically. I know there's a lot of books out that are coming out in the fall, but I couldn't think of one off the top of my head. So I didn't have time to look any up from my different lists that I have. So Hayden, I'll let you go.
So I read The Luckiest Girl Alive by Jessica Knoll this summer, and I really loved that because it was a good mix of Gone Girl and The Girl on the Train, and I loved those books a lot. I really like mystery books. And then the book I'm looking forward to for fall would be what we're reading next month, which is Truly Madly Guilty. I've been waiting all year to read this book. I cannot wait to start September's book.
Okay, so I'm going to be really difficult, and I have three because I couldn't pick. So, and actually one's like a series, so I really couldn't pick. So my favorite fiction book that I did was, I did like The Raven Cycle, and I really liked that. And so it's like The Raven Boys, Blue Lily, Lily Blue, The Dream Thieves, and The Raven King. There's four books. And then a favorite like nonfiction ones, like kind of more of like informational, like religious, was the She Reads Truth book about, and it's by the founders of that app and kind of like their journey and stuff. And I really liked that. And then I read a graphic novel called Mike's Place, and it's a nonfiction graphic novel about a bombing that happened in Israel. Cannot remember the year, but it was just really like well done. And the guy, it was like done in a group of three or four people, and there's a documentary that goes with it, and they were filming a documentary, but the graphic novel is about the process of filming the documentary and how they were bombed in the middle. This bar, Mike's Place, is bombed like in the middle of the documentary and targeted, and then like the aftermath of that.
I have a couple of repeats. I also enjoyed The Miracle Morning. That was good. Recommended by Lisa Marie. That was good. Sharp Objects by Gillian Flynn was a good read for me as well. And I'll echo what Hayden said about Ted, the Luckiest Girl Alive. That was excellent too. I also really enjoyed the life-changing magic of Not Giving a Poop. And I am looking forward to, in the fall, reading the second Sarah Knight novel of Getting Your Poop Together. That looks like it's going to be good. And also the September read, Truly Madly Guilty, sounds really good as well.
I also read Miracle Morning this summer. That was a real game changer for me. And I reread a series that it's been a couple years since I read, by Maria B. Snyder, the Healer series. I just wanted something like, you know, escape bubblegum fiction. And then books that I'm looking forward to. So The Four Tendencies by Gretchen Rubin is coming out, I think, in September. I'm excited for that because I enjoy her other books and I like the breakdown in, what is it, Better Than Before? She starts talking about tendencies. So I'm excited for the real breakdown on that one. And then, I looked it up. I think the author is Kendare. Anyway, the sequel for Three Dark Crowns is also coming out in September. And I'm super excited for that. Real kind of dark, twisty sci-fi fantasy book. Really, really good. I'm super excited for it and totally recommend the first one. And then soon the second one.
Okay, so my favorite that wasn't like my normal like mystery whatever was A Man Called Ove. I read it at home on vacation. Took me a little bit to get into it, but I can't recommend it enough. I cried at the end. It is a wonderful book. 110% recommend everyone reads it if you haven't, because I loved it.
Awesome. I love getting book recommendations from you guys because you always have read or are reading something I want to read. So the She Reads Truth book has been on my wish list for a while, and I actually just got the Bible and I love it. The Luckiest Girl Alive, Hayden. It's funny that you mentioned that. That was going to be our February read, I think 2 years ago, and it got waxed and I haven't read it, and it's been on my shelf ever since. And of course, Truly Madly Guilty is going to be a winner next month. So thank you guys for sharing. We will get this party started with our quarter.
Oh, look at me. I'm here.
I missed you. I'm so sorry. You're usually like in the very beginning. I'm so sorry.
I know. I'm going to jump right in there. So the book for me for summer, like everyone knows I have kids, little kids, but what we've been doing is we've been going back and picking up some classic children's books. So I don't know if you can see it, but it is a great story. I don't know if you can read that one, but it is, we're going on a bear hunt and you would love it. Like if you love like children's books, you have to get that one for your kids. Like my kids are crazy about it. They want me to read it over and over and over. They laugh hysterically about it. So we've been excited about going through, like I have a list of like some classic children's books that we've been checking out. And what I'm looking forward to for the fall, because we love fall around here, like we're fall crazy. But it's on our list, which is the Anne of Green Gables, because I watched the series, but I never read the book. So now I get to read the book with you guys, and I'm looking forward to that.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing. I love that you did children's books, and especially since Anne of Green Gables is our children's book this year. We try to read one a year. So we got that one, and that's kind of also a quarterly classic too. All right. So jumping in to I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. So of course, we'll start out with our softball. What was your experience reading the book and how many stars? And Tabitha, you bring up such a good, like something we were talking about before the live stream went live is when it starts getting cool in your area. Because I feel like with September, like we're fall crazy. We're starting to, you know, get into that season sort of, I guess, or after this weekend. And Anne of Green Gables is coming up, of course, and that's such a fall book. But like in LA, it doesn't get cold until even a little bit until like November. And same with like all of Northern California, except for San Francisco. So I would love to hear also, in addition to what you thought about I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings is when it starts getting cool for a fall for you guys. I feel like I'm already seeing all these like fall vibes and like all these sweaters online, and it's like, oh, I'm just going to be sweating for the next like 2 months. So anyway, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings was, for some reason, it wasn't what I was expecting, and I knew kind of the plot and kind of a few of the main events, and I don't know why, but it wasn't what I was expecting. I would say about 3 stars. I think one of the things, and this is just a weird thing, is that I kind of had it lumped in my mind with To Kill a Mockingbird, which is one of my all-time favorite books, I think because of the setting, and they both have bird in the title for no other reason. I know that they're very different books. I kind of was like looking for To Kill a Mockingbird a little bit, and we read Ghost at a Watchman just last November, and then also I read To Kill a Mockingbird as well. And I forgot how much I loved it. And I think because of the setting, I just was looking for a little more of that. So that might have gone into my 3-star review, but I have a feeling I'll probably love it by the time we're done with this discussion. I read it. I usually read the old fashioned way, any of my nonfiction books. And I actually bought this mass market paperback for $4 because, I have this really beautiful copy, and it's like paper and glam pink, of all of Maya Angelou's autobiographies, but it was kind of hard and bulky to carry around, and I took this little $4 paperback on vacay. So that was my experience. Hayden, how about you?
Sorry, I was...
Now I skipped Erica. Erica, you are up. I'm so sorry, Hayden and Tabitha.
Okay. First, the question about the weather. It is, it's not as hot here as it was. Now it's only in the upper 80s instead of the 90s like it usually is, or into the 100s. But I think that's just because we got a cool front and some rain last week. I don't really think of fall as beginning here until about late October. Sometimes it's even into November. We have years where it fluctuates because it's crazy here. But I would say after Halloween, it starts to really feel like fall here. As for the book, I don't know. There was something about, like, I started out reading it. I read about half of it. And I would be like, okay, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to read, like, 3 chapters tonight. And, like, I would just immediately, like, my eyes would be super heavy, which part of it is probably just schedule right now. But I was like, okay, this isn't working. So I got the audiobook as soon as it became available from my library and started listening to it and reading it. And I was still like I would try to read along with it and I just couldn't get into it. But once I stopped trying to read it and I just listened to it, for some reason, it caught my attention better. I have no idea why, because that's not usually the case, because I'm a visual person. So I don't know if just her writing style seems more spoken word to me. I don't know what it is. But as for the content, I really enjoyed it. It took me a while to get into it as basically every chapter is its own little essay, and it doesn't, other than all being about her childhood, it didn't really connect like a coherent story. And so it took me a little while to get into that. Once I did, I really enjoyed it. So I'm going to give it like a 3, 3.5 star. Hayden?
Oh man, I'm having a hard time unmuting tonight. So so I live in Bend, Oregon, and we get fall weather here anytime from about mid-September to the beginning of October. The first year we were here, it was really hot in October, and I thought, my God, have I moved somewhere that's just like the South? And I did not enjoy that. But years since that, it's been cooler towards the end of September. But right now, our whole state's on fire, and it's going to be 101 here this weekend, which is really rare. So I'm not enjoying the heavy smoke that we're having or the extremely hot weather. I would like summer to be done. As I've said before, summer is not my favorite season. Fall is. So I'm ready to get out my pumpkins and wear my cozy sweaters and put on my pants and not have to sweat every time I step out the door or even in my house. Since in Central Oregon, we don't have central air. You have to buy these window units because it gets so cool here at night. Everyone opens their windows, but with the smoke, you can't really do that. So I'm going to stop complaining about the smoke and go on to the book. So I always buy my books off Amazon, Lisa Marie's Amazon list. So I read the Big Bertha book, and it was really hard to carry around. It made my purse weigh like 40 pounds. I didn't realize I was buying an entire collection of autobiographies. So I guess eventually I'll need to read all of those since I bought them. But I gave the book 4 stars because it was a classic, even though I maybe didn't understand a lot of it. Thinking about what Erica said, I probably should have listened to it because she's right. Each story was like its own little essay about her childhood, and some of it, a lot of it, was very sad and traumatizing, and it maybe would have gone, I would have understood better what she was talking about with some of her imagery had I listened to it. But overall, I thought the book was good, and it was interesting to read about parts of her life because I don't really know that much about her. So I enjoyed reading the book. I just maybe didn't understand it as well as other people did.
So I gave the book like a 4, 4.5 stars. I think that I did the audiobook too, like Erica did. And I think that I've learned with memoirs that it's a little easier for me to get through them if the audiobook is narrated by them, because then I feel like they're telling me their life story. Like I'm sitting down and I'm having a conversation with them, because I did Trevor Noah's memoir that way. And it's like hilarious. And it's like, you're watching his stand-up comedy or listening to it, like from the other room. And, the Lauren Graham one too, I felt the same way. So I think that if they're narrated by the author, the memoirs tend to be better on audio, because like with this one, when the, like in the revival scene, she sings the hymns, and little things like that. I felt like if you were reading them on text, or little sounds that were making, she would make, the text wouldn't give it the same kind of depth. And so I think that I probably wouldn't have liked it as much if I had read it, which is not typical for me. So I really did, I liked it. And I think that it, as far as like where it fits like in like the canon of Black American literature, it definitely, it hits on many of the common like themes and ideas and realities and discussions. And so I think I really liked that. And so I think that was probably a big part of why I did that. And I totally skipped the fall question, but I live like 45 minutes from Lisa Marie. So it's pretty much the same, except for I get like cooler mornings and evenings probably than she does sometimes. Because I get a little bit more seasons in the desert, because we get super, super cold in the winter and super, super hot in the summer. So our temperatures go from like 28 degrees to like 108 today, you know, but like this morning was like 67. But then it was 108 by the time I got off work. So fall will start when it decides to, which could be October or it could be December.
Well, I'm the resident Canadian, so we get all 4 seasons, clearly all 4 seasons. Some seem to be longer than others. For instance, winter seems to be at least 6 months. This summer, I'm in Ontario, and the summer was cool summer just all the way around. It's funny because tonight actually we're getting into the single digits, if you can believe it. So you can actually see a little bit of the colors starting to turn. If you're going down the highway, you can already see some of the colors starting to go into the really deep, deep reds. Always this time of year for back to school, the kids, you know enough to buy the jacket right away, because they're likely going to need it in the morning, and it's really, really warm in the afternoon, but they're definitely going to need it in the morning. And usually by the Canadian Thanksgiving, which is the first weekend in October, we will have had a first frost. So that's it in a nutshell. As far as the book, I gave it a 4-star. I really enjoyed it. I have the book and kind of tried to get into the book at the beginning, but I had a couple of business trips where I was going to be on the road a lot, so I actually downloaded as well the audiobook narrated by Maya herself. And I completely agree that totally made the difference for me. Just even hearing her voice and the language that's in the book, it flowed. So when I was reading the book and trying to catch up, I would read it in her voice almost. So that was kind of cool. It is in sequence. So yeah, someone had already mentioned that it didn't flow. I've kind of read it as more as a patchwork of her life, not necessarily in sequence. And that kind of made it more, made it better for me, knowing that each chapter was almost like someone said, almost like an essay, almost like a separate storytelling. So yeah, it was a good book. I enjoyed it. I think this is probably the first one I've read by her. But definitely piqued my curiosity. I think maybe we'll, you know, make this as part of my wheelhouse going forward. We'll see.
So I'm in Oregon, like Hayden, but kind of a different part of Oregon. So our running joke is kids here need to be able to factor in rain gear with their Halloween costume, because it doesn't matter how nice our fall is or how late of a summer we've had, it's going to rain on you for Halloween. I have distinct memories of wearing long johns under my, because I dressed up as Jasmine one year as a kid. And so I had, like, under my harem pants, I have long johns, and I wore, like, a shirt underneath my, you know, like a long sleeve shirt and a jacket over it. It's ridiculous. So probably middle of September, like if we go to Oktoberfest, I will wear pants and a t-shirt and bring a light jacket for the evening. Like it starts becoming really fallish mid-September and then just turns into rainy season for us. So that's kind of our weather transition. Although it's unseasonably hot, we're getting smoke just like Hayden is, because there are fires all over, but there's a really big one kind of like in between Hayden and I. And so we're both getting mass smoke from it. And then it's going to be unseasonably hot here as well, like hundreds in the next week, which just doesn't happen in September, typically. But anyway, and then as far as experience for the book, I struggled. I would say I would give it like a 3, because it's a class, maybe higher. It's not that I didn't like it. I just struggle with some of the imagery she used. Felt more poetic, and I don't know. I think I like plain speech a little bit better, if that makes sense. So it was kind of a struggle for me. I did wind up downloading it and listening to some of it, and then kind of speed reading through the bulk of it. So I think I am gonna like finish actually listening, because I did prefer, it's just terribly slow going listening. So that wasn't gonna be an efficient way for me to finish the book. So I kind of abandoned it, but I did enjoy, because I like listening to autobiography, and I kind of forgot, because I just was going to read this and then I saw that she narrated. And so I downloaded it, but then it was a little late in the game. So I think I'm gonna go back and actually listen to the whole thing with her narrating, because I did appreciate it. And then I like the feeling of somebody telling me their life story. So I think that will probably upgrade, even though I don't like some of the imagery she uses, if that makes sense.
So I read it, like I read everything that we do, on my iPad from the library, because I'm cheap and I just like to read like a regular person. I was kind of like a positive meh about it. So whatever that falls on the scale is what I thought it was. I read it really early. Like, I think I started it the day after book club last month. So I started it really early. I felt like I was going to have a hard time getting through it. And I really didn't. The beginning gave me some troubles. And I thought to myself, oh, if the whole book is like this, like, I don't think I'm going to spend my time finishing it. But I did. I pushed through, and then it got better. It did change for me, and it was easy for me to read after the beginning church scene, and after I made that jump in time in the narrative, then I was okay. So I thought it was fine. It wasn't what I expected. Expected something totally different than what it was. I thought I would struggle with it and really hate it, and I didn't, and that was surprisingly nice. So I live in St. Paul, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm from Montana in the mountains. Both places, the weather is comparable. The only difference in Minnesota is that it's humid, like here, and I hate it. But I would say it's not atypical to have snow by Halloween, if not on Halloween. So like Sarah was saying, like thinking about rain gear, like we would think about like real big long johns. Like there's no way I was ever going to be anything that was like a princess or whatever. Like you had to be able to put multiple layers under your costume. And I think it's kind of similar here. We've only been here for 5 years. I feel like everything's kind of, with climates changing, kind of adapting to what I would expect normally, but I'm just south of Cindy, so we get all four seasons, and most of it's winter and miserable. So I enjoy fall. If we could just skip the winter bit into spring, I would be happy. I have no desire for the negative 30 and wind to come. No thanks. So yeah, no.
Well, I live in Maryland, and we experience all the seasons, and usually gets cold, like I would say October. Like I said, Halloween is usually around the time it gets, you know, cool. But I also, for some reason, remember Halloween being rain, you know, always raining and always like being outside in the rain. I don't know if that's kind of interesting that other people mentioned that also, but back to the book. As far as the book, I wanted to give this book 5 stars, but then I got to the ending and it ended the way it did. And I was like, no, I hate an ending like that. Like just, that's it. So I'm going with 4.5 just because of the ending. I don't like when, you know, you just stop the story that way. But I feel like going in that maybe it was harder for me because I had already heard her speak. She did poetry reading at St. Mary's College of Maryland, and I actually went to that, and I was blown away by hearing her read her poetry, and so I decided to listen to the book, and so listening to the book, I loved it, because like, I'm hearing her voice, I'm hearing her story, and, you know, I feel like I could relate to some of the things that she was talking about, but I know that if I had to read it, I wouldn't have been able to read it because of so many words. Like some of the classics, they always go to that, like they use thousands of words to describe one emotion, and like sometimes that's just like way too much. So listening to it, I was able to enjoy it, but I think that just straight out reading, it would have been really hard for me. But I did get a copy from the library because I wanted to be able to read, you know, read my quotes of what I like. But overall, yeah, I go 4.5 because I enjoyed it. I guess, I don't know if it was being able to hear her voice and her story for her time period. I don't know. I felt like she gave voice to so many people and so many experiences that maybe African Americans experienced during that time. And then, but we didn't hear their voice. We didn't know their story. And so I feel like I was able to hear her story and so many people who had experiences maybe similar to her. So I don't know, I felt a connection to that little girl, like her just being, you know, intelligent and strong and a person who loves to read and in her own world. So I don't know, maybe I just was feeling like I could connect with who she was in the story. So yeah, I enjoyed it. I'm surprised I hadn't read anything, hadn't read it already, but yeah, so I go 4.5.
Awesome. Well, Tabitha, you did such a great segue to question number 4. Why don't we just skip right ahead to the ending? So I don't have an answer for this. I'm hoping one of you guys can fill me in. I'm sure Jaina will tell me that something went over my head, but what was up with the ending? Do you think it was sudden? And what were you expecting? You know, what was your guys' take on the ending, essentially? Erica, you're a super reader. Lay it on us.
I guess I didn't really think about it as being abrupt, other than I mean, maybe I thought the actual sentence was like, I thought there would be something after that sentence because I was listening to it at that point. But I felt like it was a good like ending point just because it was a memoir of her childhood. And that was like the moment where her childhood, basically she became a mother. So she was entering into this whole new phase of her life. And so it just seemed like a good ending point. I would have liked to like keep hearing the story, but I mean, obviously she has other autobiographies out there where you can read, I assume, later parts of her life. And so I didn't really think anything of it other than, I guess I just thought that, oh, that was an apt ending to the story of like growing up, I guess of what she was telling.
I guess I kind of expected like a summary of like her feelings and her thoughts after the fact, like a, I guess I needed like a reflection chapter on how she felt, how far she came in her life over all those obstacles and everything that happened. So the book was kind of shocking to end that way for me. I needed a reflection summary type chapter.
Forgot, it was me, sorry. I don't know, I didn't, when I saw this question, I was like, oh, was that abrupt? I didn't realize it, I don't know. It didn't bother me. I didn't notice that it was short or abrupt. I kind of felt like she didn't go into her pregnancy in depth a lot, so it must have been an easy pregnancy. Nobody really knew she was pregnant, so there wasn't like a hoopla around it. She goes over a little bit of how she didn't want to, you know, how her motherhood started. And her mom is like, no, you got to man up. And kind of thought that was kind of like her awakening moment and the end. I don't know. It didn't not make sense to me, I guess.
I agree. It was a little bit of a stop. And, you know, I just like, wait, what? Where's the rest? Am I missing the rest of the book? What happened here? But then I'm like, I see what you did there, Maya Angelou. This is the beginning, not the end. So I think it's like to get you on the hook, and now you want to know more, and now you're going to read more on Maya Angelou, and you're going to grow and evolve with their whole story. So I get what they're doing there. I agree. Like at first I'm like, well, what? Wait, what happened? I'm pretty sure we can pick up where she left off here in probably one of your other books, whether it's in the autobiography. I don't know what the next book after this is, but I think we'll find the answers we're looking for somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it seemed natural to me because, did I read in the foreword? I don't know, somewhere. Said that she had like four memoirs. So it would make sense. Cause I remember when I read that, I was like, what? I mean, isn't this, like, I didn't realize this was a memoir of her childhood necessarily. Maybe even said that. I just didn't connect the dots. I just thought, like, how can you write that many? I mean, I know people do, but I just was thinking, like, woo, aren't we going to cover everything? And we clearly didn't. So, I mean, it didn't seem like an unnatural break or it didn't seem like it ended abruptly without purpose, I guess, or unexpectedly. I don't know if that makes sense, but I didn't have a problem with it.
I'm with Sarah. I didn't really have a problem with it. I didn't realize that it was just her childhood. To me, it just seemed like the end of the story. Like, I couldn't imagine why it would go any farther with how lengthy the first part of it was. And I also was just kind of happy to be done with it. So I was not in a bad way, but just I was like, okay, this is done. Like, we're not going to delve deeper and explore all of that. Because I don't think you could. Your book would be so long, especially that way. But I was fine with it. It didn't bother me. It was kind of like, okay.
Yeah, okay. Well, knowing that, which is great, then I can bump it to a 5 because it's a series. So I didn't realize it was a series, so that's great. Because I was just, I was like, what? I mean, I guess because once you spend so much time explaining and introducing us to characters, and we're starting to understand them and we're starting to feel for the characters, and then to just stop. So I'm just like, okay, you know, what happened with Bailey? What happened with Mama? Who, you know, what'd you name the kid? I mean, I'm just so knowing if it's just the beginning and it continues, then I'm good. But if you just leave me right there, then that's not happiness for me.
Well, I agree, Tabitha, but I'm glad we know we can pick up where we left off. So I'm guessing in my autobiography collection here is, if I think, Lanisha, you said that you had read it or that it was part one. So it's Gather Together in My Name, I assume, is the next one. So we can confirm in case anyone wants to continue the story right where they left off. All right, so we'll go back to number two with, what was your favorite passage or quote or part of the book? I will go last. I always pick a few just in case I don't want to steal anybody's thunder. So Erica, what was your favorite part of the book?
I don't have necessarily a quote or like paragraph or something. I just really like the story of when she and Louise became friends. I just like the whole like story of how she didn't want to be there. She didn't really want to play with the other kids at, I think it was a church picnic, but it might have just been like people in the town. And like she was mad because she couldn't take a book, and that's really all she wanted to do was just sit there and read. And then like just seeing how organically their friendship started, of like, why are you staring at the sky? Just because I want to. And okay, I'll stare at the sky with you, and we should spin while we're staring at the sky. I just thought it was a really cute story, and I just like the I guess it just kind of reminded me of how like little kids, like, they don't really care. They're just like, oh, what are you doing? Okay, I'll do that with you too. And it just brought back a lot of good memories, I guess, of like making friends at that age.
I enjoyed chapter 32 because it was really nice to see her mixing with kids of other race and kind of experiencing a life outside of what she was used to. And I thought that maybe helped heal from some of the trauma she had as a child. That's wishful thinking, but I enjoyed reading that because it seemed like she opened up more and kind of became more of her own person after she got to experience that, regardless of how it kind of came to happen, because that was also traumatizing.
I did like, which I mean, it's just an aspect of her story and just of her family, but I liked that she told on her, you know, on her predator, and that, you know, on her mom's boyfriend, and that, I mean, him dying obviously wasn't the nicest resolution, but that she was brave and she told him because she knew, like, wait, this is weird. But I felt really sad that she was, you know, always felt guilt for a long time, and I almost felt like when she had her baby at the end, she was like, oh, you know, like, she doesn't say it, but I kind of was like, that's the end of that. I also liked the scenes. I don't know. The graduation scene I thought was really like impactful, because just how like things were in the South at the time, and how it was just kind of like, oh, you know, we're going to build you a football stadium and this and athletes, and that's what you're going to do. And I, like, to me, that really resonated with me, because that's my students still today. That's like what people see a lot of my students as. And I'm like, no, you're smart. Like, you need to get a scholarship. You need to do schoolwork. You know, you're more than just an athlete. You can be this. And they're just kind of like, no, but athletes make money, you know? And, so I still think that's a struggle in the community. And so, I don't know. I just felt like that really resonated with me.
My favorite chapter was chapter 24. That's the one where she goes to the dentist. And why I like this one so much was because when I read it, I didn't realize that she was telling the story from her perspective and not from the reality. So she portrayed Mama as like taking out the dentist and, you know, kind of showing him what for and physically shaking him and telling him, you know, this is what's going to happen, which probably isn't exactly what it was, but she told of the incident from her perspective, standing on the outside of the door, in her mind, what she thought was happening on the inside. And I thought that was kind of cool. It spoke to the respect that she had for her grandma and for the power that she had, and, you know, the power of intimidation, even for being, you know, a colored woman in the South, you know, that's a big deal. And I wonder if that didn't have a lot to do with the woman that Maya ended up being, you know, a woman of her time for sure.
Hard time picking because I did struggle with the book. I did like Dana. I really appreciated her coming forth and, you know, being able to you know, go to court and face her accuser. My heart really bled for her, you know, about parts that she wasn't you know, willing to be entirely honest about because she felt so much guilt. I worked with, in my previous job, a lot of kids that were survivors of childhood sexual abuse. So that, I mean, I think that was probably just the most impactful, you know, because I was working with kids still working through those things. So the adult perspective, it was just kind of, it was powerful for me. And I remember on like a lighter note, the scenes of her being really proud of herself working in the store and being able to eyeball, you know, what a pound or 8 ounces of each of the different things, whether it was like sugar or flour or barley. I don't know. I mean, I like that as well, because I could identify with those things as a kid, just feeling really masterful in something you're doing. And, you know, I liked that imagery.
Forgive me if I'm mixing my books up, but this is the book where she goes to Mexico with her dad, right? That was my favorite part. I don't know if it's how I read it in my head, but it just seemed like so ridiculous and irresponsible that I loved it. But that was my favorite little scene, along with the dentist imagination part, because then you get to the real part and I was like, oh, she just totally trolled me and I just fell for it. So I liked those two. Those were my favorite.
So my favorite part is the same as Erica's, with the scene when she finally becomes friends with the girl spinning in the middle of the picnic, because they were, you know, she was hiding and looking up at the trees. This book kind of, you know, took me on a roller coaster a little bit, going from, you know, some of the tragedy, you know, of her rape, and then going into, you know, what, you know, her life, you know, the parents being divorced, them going to live with grandma. We don't really know why we're with grandma. We think our parents are dead. Oh, they're not really dead. They just didn't want us. What's going on? Nothing being explained to them. Then having to go back and then having to come back again. And like, it just seems like her life is so burdened. Like, it's too much for her age. So when I read that part about where she's just being a little girl, well, I don't even know how old she is in that part, but when she's just having fun and laughing and giggling and spinning and, you know, looking up at the sky, and like, I felt like I could cry, because it's like, yes, she needed that. She needed a moment where she had a friend, you know, not your brother, you know, not your grandma, but a friend where you can just laugh with and have a good time. And so that was so sweet to me, that moment. I don't know. And it reminds me of like being a little girl and like just how fun something simple as spinning around and looking up at the sky can be. And the way she described it was so beautiful. Because, you know, we think about little kids doing that all the time. My kids do it all the time. But to describe it in such a beautiful way, that was my favorite part of the book.
So I love specific passages. You guys know, if you've watched for a while, I absolutely love kind of collecting quotes. And when someone just articulates something so beautiful, especially when it's something that you've been thinking about a lot or that really is on your mind. And for me, this came in chapter 18, page 121. I find it interesting that the meanest life, the poorest existence, is attributed to God's will. but as human beings become more affluent, as their living standard and style begin to ascend the material scale, God descends the scale of responsibility at a commensurate speed. And I just think that is so interesting. As far as living in LA, I think about that all the time. And I don't know, she just articulated it beautifully. So let's go ahead and move to, let's see, where are we? We skipped around here. Sorry, guys. Okay. I would love to know what you guys think about the title. I put the poem inside the description box. I think if you want to take a pass on this one, I think it's somewhat obvious, but I just love the title and just the correlation to the poem. I did a little research on this because I wanted to know, you know, why she chose that. And if there was, I just love figuring out why people name things the way that they do. So I don't know if Jaina or any of our literati want to kind of give us a rundown of that poem's deeper meaning. It was a new experience for me. Erica, what do you think of the title?
I don't have a really well thought out answer to this. Let me see if I can pull up the poem real quick. I guess, and this kind of goes along with one of the other questions. The poem itself reminds me of the Psalms from the Bible. Like some of them are like worshipful and some of them are like praising God, but others of them are just like, I'm going through this really difficult time and this is how I'm upset about it. And it just kind of seemed like that's what her book was, like she's lived this hard life. I mean, even just the day to day of her life was difficult. And then you add on like being raped when she was 8 or 9 years old and, then abandoned by her parents and then, reunited with them later and all that. The whole story was kind of like, it wasn't necessarily her trying to process it. It was just her telling her story. And that's kind of how I see a lot of those Psalms, is like, I'm upset and this is how I feel. And like, we still have those poems around today from like all these years later. And so I guess the poem that she got the title from, just reminded me of like that's what this is to her. It seemed like is like her prayer or her plea from the hard times in her life.
Thanks for tackling that one. And the poem is just right in the description bar, but my favorite part says, I guess I'll just read it. I know why the caged bird sings, ah me, when his wing is bruised and his bosom sore, when he beats his bars and he would be free. It is not a carol of joy or glee, but a prayer that he sends from his heart's deep core, but a plea that upward to heaven he flings. I know why the caged bird sings. I just think it's so beautiful, and it ties into the question that we're going to be tackling next. And I should have rethought this order a little bit, so thanks for bearing with me. You know, we had a lot of passes. Thank you. Just so I can share if you'd like. Read my mind.
Sure. I'd like to share about the title. I love the title also. But what it reminds me of is like, you know, a lot in this book reminds me about her voice. So she talked about, you know, how she had a hard time with her voice after the guy was murdered. And so when I think about that caged bird, I was like, you know, I think about a bird and say, okay, well, you can place me in a cage, but I still have a song and I still have a voice. So even if the cage is, you know, something horrible that has happened to you, if the cage is your race or what people might think about you, it's like, no, I still have a voice. I still have a song and I'm going to use it. So I don't know. I just keep hearing about her voice, and I'm happy that she shared her story. Because you just think about so many people, like, you know, having terrible things happen. But for her to be able to get to the point where at one place she was not speaking at all, but now look at all the works that she has that shares her life, and that's her voice now for other people to talk about and, you know, discuss. When at one time, that her voice wasn't even, you know, she didn't have it. So I don't know. I just think it's powerful to be able to say, hey, I'm going to share my story and no one's going to take that from me. I don't know. I feel like there's power, you know, there's power in your words and being able to have those words and share those words. That's why I love the imagery that the title creates for me.
I love that, Tabitha. Thank you for sharing. We're kind of going to skip the last question. And Jaina, I want to get to you in a second. But because you've articulated it so well, the last question was, why do you think I know why the caged bird sings indoors as a class of work of literature? And I think you just nailed it, even in your intro, that it just gives a voice to people who, you know, in that time didn't have one. And it's a window into that world. And it's just a beautiful glimpse of that life. And the poem just... Yeah, I love what you said. Jaina, how about you? You have something to add, I'm sure?
Not much. I think Tabitha pretty much nailed it. I mean, you know, it's definitely that symbolic struggling, right? It says the wings are beaten, broken, and not just because of the people she comes from, but because herself, all of her own trauma, you know, and finding her voice. And I think it's just there to... be a call to other people to always find their voice. And so I don't know, I was just gonna say Tabitha nailed it. Like that's pretty much it. And you know, the Dunbar poem comes before the Harlem Renaissance. And so like, it really is like a pinnacle poem to African-American literature. And so for her to build on that and then make it even more is, you know, it's poignant and meaningful.
Absolutely. And that question was such a great segue to one of my favorite quotes in the book. And this is our third question is, Maya says on page 184 in my copy, we survive in exact relationship to the dedication of our poets, include preachers, musicians, and blues singers. Do you think this is true of all cultures, what authors, preachers, and singers help you survive? So this is so true of me. I'm an only child, and you know, of course my mom is great, but I definitely kind of felt like I was on kind of like the world was on FM, I was on AM for a lot of my life. And then I met all of you guys who are into so many of the same things as I am, and you just nerd out with me with all of my book loving, seasonal living and stuff, and my life is now complete. But you know, before that I really did turn to reading to find people who share the similar human experience. And that's what fascinates me more than anything about reading, is that you can open a book and really look at somebody's and get a peek into somebody's human experience. And that's what Maya's given us, and so many other authors have given that to me. You guys know I love Shauna Nyquist. She stands out the most in my mind as someone who just articulates things that hadn't been put down on paper for me to read, like a big sister more than anyone. I've had some great preachers in my life, and I loved that Maya included preachers in her sentence or pastors or in her quote. The podcast, the North Point podcast by Andy Stanley, is an incredible podcast. He just breaks down life, and he's hilarious. Like, you'll laugh your butt off. I'm like cackling alone in my house listening to his podcast sometimes. And then same with Miles McPherson, who is the pastor of a church called The Rock in San Diego, which is the church that really kind of led me to the Christianity I would say I practice today, which is really just like a direct relationship with Jesus, and really leaning into that more than I did before. So he definitely kind of was a lifeline for me during a confusing kind of that coming of age time of life, especially, you know, like graduating from college and like a horrible economy and just kind of like things really changing a lot in that 2008, 2009. Like, I look back at that time now and it's like, no wonder I didn't know kind of like where my life was going. Like, YouTube didn't exist at this point. You know, there was no social media. It was, you know, I always wanted to do paper stuff, but all of, you know, my friends who were in the paper world, like their businesses went under because the economy was so tough at that point. And that was a really hard time for me. And, you know, they always say it's darkest before the dawn. And I just love that line because so many country songs resonated with me during that time. And, you know, so many authors like Regina Brett and Anne Lamott, Emily Freeman, so many that I know I recommended last chat. And I also made some notes that there was a couple that I missed. I just love authors. Let's see, who else? C.S. Lewis, he's another one, like his nonfiction. Of course, we all love the Narnia books, but C.S. Lewis, just opened up a whole world to me. Same with Brené Brown and also Sarah Ban Breathnach. And I know I'm mispronouncing her name. I forgot to look it up the pronunciation before this, but her book Simple Abundance really, really was a game changer for me too. So anyway, this is more like adding to your to read list, I guess, but I'd love to know kind of what voices shaped your experience and kind of helped you make it through. Erica, I'll pass the ball to you after a long ramble.
I am such a mood like reader and music listener and like even watching TV and movies. I don't have like a specific author or musician or anything. But I love the variety that we have. It hasn't always been available, and I just love that like I can, if I need something that's going to cheer me up, I can find something that like fits that. And if I need something to make me think, I can find something that will do that. And within any number of categories, like I need to think about this, I need to think about that. Or just if I just want something that's going to totally let me escape from the craziness in the world, I can find something that like appeals to that. And just the variety of things that we have available to us, it's not only helpful to me, but it's also inspiring, because it's like no matter what your story is, somebody out there who wants to listen to it or read it or watch a TV show or movie about it. It's not going to be for everybody, but somebody out there is going to get something from it.
So I was a very awkward child. Obviously, I'm still an awkward adult that had very big opinions that was not afraid to say them. So when that did not make me popular, I escaped to, of course, James Patterson and R.L. Stine and Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys. That's what I grew up reading, and that's what I go back to today if I need to feel better or kind of escape from everything that's going on. And my music people are, I'm sure this won't surprise anybody, but Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5, Phil Collins, and pretty much anything from Motown that's got Hayden's name written all over it.
Sorry, I was typing and not doing a good job at it either. I think like words, pastors, I've always like really paid attention to like what people say and do. And music is really important to me, but lyrics of music, like I don't understand. Like right now my students are really into this guy Lil Pump, and his song just says D Rose. I don't even know. It's like absolutely the worst non-meaningful song I've ever listened to in my life. And I mean, I know there's always been bad like songs about like shaking your booty and stuff, like even like old rock and roll is really just about stuff like that. This isn't even about that. This is just like nothing. So, I mean, I always, to me, it's important to find music that says something about, like, the human condition. And because of that, I listen to all kinds of music. Growing up, I listened to a lot of punk rock. And punk rock, even though, like, you can't always understand what the words say, but if you look up the lyrics, most of it is really, it really is about, like, what's going on in, like, the world. And I really listened to a lot of ska more than I did punk, or like stuff that was like ska and punk. And there's a lot of really good musicians out there in those genres that are talking about the world and politics and thinking and stuff like that. And so I was always really into music that was very like thoughtful and about things and had something to say about life. Like I really like Kendrick Lamar, if I was going to pick a rap artist that's contemporary, because he has something to say. He doesn't just like talk about nothing. I don't know. So I think music, and I think that's why people like the Beatles stay, you know, so strong and relevant, or even older musicians, like, you know, people really like Billie Holiday because it says something, and people still listen to Billie Holiday, and it says something culturally, and her words actually are meaningful and say something. And when it comes to like ministers and pastors, right now I'm really like loving Jill Briscoe and like everything Jill Briscoe has to say about like life And if there was ever a wise woman who God put words in, who has lived the life, I mean, she starts talking from being 6 years old during World War II, like on, and it's just like she has so much wisdom to put forth that I think that, you know, harnessing that is just really important, and it's how we continue to make the world better. That's like with my students, I try to show them that too, like look at other people's perspective. If you think this thing about this country or this type of government, find someone who's lived there and hear their story. Hear like a real story about it, because I think that that makes it better.
Oh, okay, I'll jump in. I do think I agree with you so much about lyrics because I'm really into lyrics. But I like to think, you know, having a pastor or ministers in your life, I can relate to that. That's always been good for me. My pastor, my father-in-law is a pastor, so I definitely can. I've experienced how they were able to kind of pour into you, and I think it's important what you allow to pour into you. So I think that for myself, like, I don't know, I'm a little selective about the types of things that come in. So when you're talking about like these crazy songs that they're just saying really crazy things, I'm just like, okay, I can't deal with that at all. So I don't want that weirdness in my head. But but I do like, I don't know, some things are just like nostalgia. Like I can hear like Sade music and I don't know, it just automatically makes me like, I don't know, feel happy or just kind of chill because I don't know, it just takes me back to like a time in my life where I was just like, oh yeah, you know, it just makes me think about love and you're just like, this is cool. So I think that, you know, music and even teachers, I put teachers in this category as well because I think that, you know, teachers have a platform and they're able to kind of pour in, a good teacher is able to pour into you. So I've had some teachers stand out in my life also that, you know, it's like, oh wow, I'm really happy that, you know, they shared this with me or, you know, like something they said, like just stuck. And so I think that even that's what I'm looking for now as I'm getting into books and, you know, with you ladies, you guys encourage me so much to want to be so well-read. So I'm looking for books that do the same thing.
Awesome. What a great discussion. I just love our treatment of the classics, especially because they can be such a challenge when you're reading them by yourself. And I just appreciate all of you guys so much, whether you, of course, my book chatters and those of you who join us live and your comment after the fact. I think that there's something really special about this group, and I'm just grateful that all of you make time for it and make time to read together, because there are so many stories that are important to share and experience, you know, communally. And that's really, of course, what Paper and Glam is all about, is shared community experience, right? Whether it's like the seasonal living lists or, you know, reading a book together, there's just so much more to be gained from that. And I just love that you guys are on that page with me. So to that end, next month, we're gonna be reading kind of our greatest hit author, which is Lane Moriarty. She is, you'll just love it. She's kind of like the smart chick lit author, and she always keeps you guessing till the end. You know, the book chatters hype this up enough for me, so I won't go too much into it. I linked it below if you want to check out the book. And yeah, I think that's about it. Remember to give this video a thumbs up. It really helps other readers connect to our group and helps the Paper and Glam Book Club grow. And then we do have some new reading stickers in the shop. Well, maybe not new if you've done your September shopping, but of course, in addition to our Glam Reads, we release kind of some simpler reading stickers for blocking out your time to read. Sorry, I'm struggling with lighting today, so the glare is kind of rough, but I linked them below if you want to see them in their glory. So that I think is it. Thank you so much for all of your support of the shop and of course Paper and Glam. I love you guys so much. And thank you, Book Chatters, for spending your night and being vulnerable on live YouTube with me. And I will see you next September, and it'll be officially fall the last Thursday in September. So have a good night, and we'll be back with you guys soon.